situation.
This call is being recorded.
Okay, so I started recording.
Why did the phone just say that? The phone just said this call is being recorded.
No, I just started. I just found the button.
It sounds so suspicious, like, oh my God, they don't want this to happen.
I'm sorry, I should have gave you guys a heads up.
We just started. They already recording us.
I'll talk to you later, sir.
Yeah. But you know what? But I am able to.
prank caller.
Very funny joke. Ha ha ha! Very funny. Yeah. No, I just found the dashboard where I'm able to see who's on, how to communicate, how to set this thing up. So,
okay. You gotta give us a heads up, brother. Brother Luke.
Yeah, I know. I was looking. I was like, I wonder what this button does. One of the sisters. She was like, please record. She was there last week. Brother Ron, you missed it. We attempted to do the live streaming. That thing was a total disaster.
if you can't call me, text me something one way or the other. I get it. If you miss
well,
the
well,
call,
well, you know what? We just decided to dumb it down and just go with this direct. Just go as directly as possible using the phone,
right.
and you know, instead of trying to be complicated, do a video. Because what happened was, We wanted to stream the video directly to each other and then stream it on Facebook. It was just madness. The latency was crazy. The echo was crazy. So I'm sorry about that, brother Jim. Though you can. All right, it's safe to speak, bro. It's the same thing.
It was just the same thing. I think it's going on in around the world. I think the tension is starting to. I think the message is being delivered that there's going to be repercussions now. That there's just you just can't unarmed murder people like. You know, they obviously been doing, but if you notice, there's been a lot of slack. You don't hear it as often, and I mean, I guess we're obviously just waiting on the next one kind of thing, but
yeah,
I think they're starting to understand that, you know, a lot of them are starting to, the public is starting to retaliate, and it's scary because if you really look at who's killing them, you know, it's the white boys that's doing the killing of policemen. You know, so like I say, man, it's the same old game everywhere else. It's kind of like the profiling, and we have I work with a lot of different ex-officers, and when they start to determine, you know, how they do their job, you know, they police the poor neighborhoods simply because there's no voice. You know, you get to rich neighborhoods, the mayor gets a call. They still got quotas to fill, so they got to prey on somebody to get those quotas to keep their job. So they take the least path of resistance. So they call it honey, and they go on and see that homeless guy, or you see somebody going to jail. You're like, man, come on, really? But it's all a money thing, and it's all based around income. So. But yeah, it works.
And see, you know what? That's everywhere too, man. Once you put a quota, once you say, hey, listen, we need some numbers, it always becomes a money game. You know, they got to justify their budgets. They got to justify, you know, whatever, patrol cars, you know, additional weapons. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be justified.
But with the blatant violence,
what happens is this. When you put the justification in there, right? Like when you put the quota there, let me change that word. When you put up a quota, all right, now put pressure on your officers to go out and make these arrests, right? So what's inherently within that whole system is, well, while I was trying to make this arrest, I felt threatened and therefore used deadly force.
Bingo.
You know?
Okay.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And so everything gets justified, everything. And so there's no repercussion on the back end of that, you know. And like you said, you go back to your desk. They put you on desk duty for a few days. And
full
then,
pay.
You know, full pay. So you and your family are still comfortable. It's just that when you go to the office, instead of you walking back out of the office to patrol, you're going to be sitting behind the desk, you know, doing paperwork. Or you might just have your feet kicked up.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, you might
be doing laundry duty, you know, for
suspended,
the captain, whatever.
Suspended with pay. Some suspended with pay.
With pay. So,
and you still get vacation time.
Okay, real quick. Brother Cujo just texted me. He said he has a family emergency. He was supposed to facilitate. He is not facilitating. We already just jumped knee deep into the conversation, so I say we continue. I guess we can run to about 10 o'clock. Somebody else just came in. Was that you, Brother Rock? Hello? Hello? Hello, gentlemen?
We're here. I'm here.
Okay, somebody else just jumped in. I don't know why I can't hear it. So
I didn't hear the thing make the noise though. So I didn't hear nobody.
Yeah, I didn't hear the noise either.
Right, but I have the I am on the site. I am on the dashboard.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
so
on the dashboard.
We'll finish talking.
Right,
so
that is what it is. No, I just want to make sure everybody is aware of who's here. So the other brother, I'm hoping he's in Tennessee, and I'm hoping he doesn't think I mean 9 o'clock his time,
or
St. Louis or something like that. So I'm hoping he doesn't think I mean 9 o'clock his time. So I was trying to contact him.
Text him if you get a chance.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I just want to correlate this really quick with, while you figure that out, Brother Lou, I wanted to correlate this with the same thing that just recently happened with Wells Fargo, right? Wells Fargo recently was in this whole big scandal where they put pressure on their employees to create all these incentives, right, to get all these numbers, I should say,
right?
And, you know, they were creating, like, if I walked into the bank, right, and I opened up a savings account, you know, they would automatically put me into, like, a checking account, some other type of thing where it would look like I'm making five different transactions, right? Mm. And so for five different transactions off of one person, just multiply that by the millions or the thousands or whatever, however many customers they have. And these were the type of bonuses or the type of incentives they were getting for that, right? But that was a fraud. They weren't supposed to do that.
Wow.
So what happened was Congress came down on them saying that, well, listen, you put pressure on your low-wage working employees to do this, and you fired all of the people that did it. But yet your CEO got a bonus. And so... Mm. They laid it into the CEO and eventually got him out of there. And so now Wells Fargo is on this whole backtrack, you know, the customer must be taken care of type of chart. but it all started because of the number game.
The quota,
you know,
yeah.
The numbers, I saw that.
The congressman was like, yo, I looked at my statements and you guys did this to me.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. If you're a Wells Fargo customer, trust me, it happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so these are the type of problems like, okay, so they got fired because they were low-wage employees. But these are officers, you know, policing the community. They're not going to get fired. They're going to get the suspension with full pay. And then after a few months,
if and when they get caught.
If and when they get caught. And now the other thing that we must understand is that they don't – we have something called due process, right? So they have to go through that, but that's only a formality. There's nothing going to happen to these guys unless it's so blatant that the federal government jumps in there.
And that leads us into another issue, right?
Because now this guy Sessions, this guy Sessions is trying to take away some of the funding from the federal oversight of police. So that's another issue, and I'll be quiet
it's not the floor too long. It wasn't the funding. It was the consent decrees. Where these police departments consented to have the government over. That was the agreement. They were not to engage minorities, and especially in hot areas, they were not to engage minorities without having like a camera or some other kind of thing. They were to follow the letter of the law. They were to submit mm-hmm. their numbers monthly. These were things that were implemented by Obama and Eric Holder before they got out of there. Nothing was ever written in stone. Some of these like the thing that happened in Baltimore with the guy Freddie Gray, they were right. signing off on it. And but what the officers were doing was what do they call it? Depolicing? Like, so they kind of like was like, ah, forget it, we're not doing anything.
Right, uh-huh. right. To prove a point, be bitter.
Right, right, right. So and then unfortunately, our brothers took that as, oh, less police action. Okay, cool. Let's act the fool. And so what happens is they started paying attention to what's going on. The violent crime has actually spiked, especially right. in the areas where the consent decrees were supposed to happen. So you have Missouri, you have Ferguson, right, which is in Missouri. You have that. You had Chicago, which is a hotbed. You have Baltimore. And where did another incident happen? I think it was in D.C., something like that, which is kind of close to Baltimore anyway. So yeah. so basically, that's what they did. But now, let's talk about solutions, because it is good that you said record these guys' video. Just real quick, I wanted to just bring up, did you guys see what the young guy in Atlanta – where the cop pulled him over and he attempted to reach for his phone and the cop elbowed him and then dragged him in the street and then his partner came and just stomped his face in the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about
kicked him in the head. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. And then you guys seen the other one where the cop choke slammed the guy with the dreads and threw him on the ground and tried to break his arm and all this crazy stuff.
I'm
you guys
sure
seen that as well, right?
Okay. That one, yeah.
So and, you know, we have yo, Black Wallace Matter. We have some solutions. We had some proposals, which were, you know, put these guys on blast, dig into their backgrounds on social, you know, expose them on social media, and then in the meanwhile, use our finances and our resources to lobby for legislation that's going to address this at the federal level, at the legal level. There's a law on the books. It's called the Enforcement Act of 1870. It was used. It was put on the books specifically for cops abusing Black citizens. This was in the South. A sheriff was successfully prosecuted for that. He beat this Black dude. Unfortunately, the dude was selling tires. So he beat the Black dude. But the dude and the dude succumbed to his injuries. Later died. And the family was able to successfully prosecute the sheriff. The sheriff went to jail for a little bit. Then he got out on appeal and did some finagling, some political finagling, and presto, changeo, the law no longer, it's still on the books, but now they no longer use it. It
wow.
has been, right? So it exists today as Section 242.18. I don't know how to read those swiggle law lines. Maybe Brother Kev could tell us about that. But
United States law.
Okay, there you go. Right.
So
it's
and all that.
Fancy, yes, Mr. Fancy Pants. So the subsection 8, subsection 18, right? Section 242, subsection 18. I forgot the exact wording, but that's what we can use now, and. It implores the federal government to step in when the state and local police are overstepping their boundaries, and it invokes the Constitution, right? So the Constitution is the overriding law of the land. This is the reason why they can't stop these guys with the Second Amendment stuff, right? They're trying as much as they can, but they can't really stop it because the Constitution is supposed to be the law of the land. We have our 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, and we have all these other little addendums in there. I think so we're going to try to hire some lawyers and lobbyists to really, really get in there and bring that to the forefront. But in the meanwhile, what we need to do is we need to document all cases of police brutality. We need to show data that we are being targeted. That, you know, we just have to make the data look so skewed and so crazy. Like, okay, cool. So here's 1,000 incidences where the police have interacted with a white, you know, in a traffic stop with a white person. Here's 1,000 incidences where they interacted with a black person. And out of those 1,000 incidences with the white person, there was a resistant arrest of police brutality 0 times. Out of our times, 18 times. Like, we like, you know, numbers like that.
I know, so numbers. Yeah, you got to use numbers.
Right.
Because that's what use.
Right.
Brother Jim has a very, very exciting component to bring to this. So you know, if you watch the blueprint, part of it talks about how we have to add these incidences to our profiles. Brother Jim and his team have figured out a really, really cool way that can be done. So, Brother Jim, I'll let you take the floor.
Oh, okay, bro. Okay. Well, what me and my guys did, man, I own a mobile technology company, and we put together a family safety app. And it's on the Android and the Apple Store right now. It's a free download. What happens is it's an app that if you're ever pulled over or detained in a situation of that magnitude, you simply touch the app. It automatically GPS your location. You can select up to 5 lifelines as your point of contact, mother, brother, preacher, teacher, that. And then what happens, it sends that information to them, and then it immediately starts to audio and video record everything that's going on around you. And it'll timestamp it in our back office. So that way, if they take your device or take your phone or something like that, not only, you know, it's stored in the cloud, so your lifelines have the information. And if you like, you can download and stream straight to Facebook to show them the incident on your page.
Very nice.
But you can select that yourself. Or sure once. ASSURONCE, assure once, and the motto behind that was one touch gets you an assurance. But
it looks like a fingerprint.
Also, yes, that's correct.
I'm getting that. I'm downloading right now.
Yeah, and again, please play with it. Try to break it, whatever you brothers do. But we just kind of released this thing a few months ago. We kind of updated it, you know, and kept twisting and turning on it. But I haven't put a lot of marketing to it. That's probably why you possibly haven't heard of it. But it got a place in there for an attorney, and that's what we were in the process of doing. We're getting attorneys to make sure that they're not going to gouge us or anything like that. We had a place where we call Safe Havens, and at one point we were using bail bond companies, but we're finding out that their laws have been passed that they're kind of going to be pre-extinct pretty soon, because they're going to start allowing you to bail out of jail under your own signature. You know, I guess it's kind of like underwriting you. Like,
Without a
bail bond involved. It's kind of like a signature bond instead of.
Is that a Texas thing, or is that going to be everywhere?
I want to see that in New York.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about New York is, you know, we're the last for all of that, man. And you know, we're such a big city that they almost say, hey, listen, I know.
You think we got everything under control? Yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Jim. It's a lot of background noise. What did you say, Jim?
What was the name of the
Wait, 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 wait. Who has the floor? Who is that, Brother Kareem?
No, I just wanted to know the name of the app. What was the name of the app?
ASSURONCE. ASSURONCE. It looks like a red fingerprint on the app. It looks like a red fingerprint.
All right. I got it. Hold on.
I'm trying to share that on Facebook, everything else. Try to, you know. Put it out there.
Well, this is
you can have in your people, and again, it's, you can't hurt anything. So if you you know, make your lifelines in there. You can select up to five. And, again, just be careful with
demoing and
that kind of stuff. I heard one guy was, you know, got caught with his side piece demoing and showing her what it could do. And he had his wife as a lifeline, so she's seen the video.
That was very important for you to say, Jim.
I'm glad you said that. Wow.
She can't be a lifeline now, yo.
She has a lifeline, right? Brother Jim is everybody's lifeline.
Yeah, honey, check this out, you know?
Wow. Side chick's got to stay on the side.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, we kind of got a laugh out of that one, but it was a face. He put it on our website, like, man, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of like, maybe we should make that a disclaimer or something. So, but other than that, man, it's something that a tool that you can use. It is free, and it's a way that you can, again, corral your community. One of the things that I was talking to Brother Lou about was the way that we can educate our communities is once we get them into a database, then we can start, you know, text messaging them and giving them information that's, you know, could be like you're talking about the law, bro, and what they need and how we need to go about and making them aware of different laws that are on the ballot. Well, if you could just send, you know, 7, 10, 15,000 people that exact same email at the push of a button or that text message, rather, you know, now you can start communicating with them and start educating them on certain situations. So part of controlling is communicating. So we know we got a lot of knowledge amongst you brothers, and we want to share that with the masses. And the only way you're going to do that is get them in a database. You know what I mean? So however we could create that, I like the membership thing and what you're doing over here with Black Wallet. You know what I mean? So, again, it's about building that database, building that clientele base, and then you can start educating them on ways to change the communities. But that's one of the ways we looked at doing what we're doing here in Houston, and we're kind of migrating toward the immigration piece because that's a huge, huge problem now. They're running them out. And I was kind of under the pressure, like, well, hey, shoot, they ain't done nothing for me, so why should I care about what they going through? Anytime they got an issue, it's always we're on the front line and they're sending back, you know, jockeying for second position amongst these people. So until I actually seen and they got me involved, and I have one of my business partner who's married to a Hispanic who went through some stuff and ripped apart their family, and then it kind of hit home, like, wait a minute, whoa, these people are serious. I mean, they got such a big drop in attendance, you know, here in Texas, you know, this is part Mexico. So when they got the ICE officers waiting outside the schools, you know, taking their parents away, and that's leaving those little kids. You know, you come home and your parents ain't there no more. So now the families are just got $100 million government funded detention center here in Houston, right down the street. It's his third one in the city. So we're on the front row of that kind of thing. And that's when you guys start talking about corralling the community and passing out a word. I don't think the black, our problem ain't that, you know, that issue is more brutality and learning to corral our black dollars and starting to create another, you know, Black Wall Street or something similar to that where our money exchange hands and we start to find jobs for our kids because they don't want them in corporate America anymore. That, you know, they want the haircut. You guys know the story. So work with a group that's doing that piece of it. A lot of the working with the school system, we got a deportation officer who puts a lot of the stuff that we're doing inside of this app, his input. So I guess that's what I'm bringing to the table. If I'm not talking too much, I'm just saying.
No, bro. You're talking about a straight solution, and that's the important part. That's the important part.
Well, there is one. We're not out there by ourselves, bro. And the thing that's keeping these people if we can get them on video recording, that kind of thing, it's the truth. You can't alter the truth, and that's all we're asking for. Also, you know what I mean? Just if that brother done something, you know, damn, we already know the playing field ain't equal. But if you gunned that man down and you didn't have to do that, bro, you should be shot too. Well,
I want
you dead. I'm not gonna forgive you. I want your body in the grave too. So,
yeah.
Y'all pray for me and that part. But that's just me, guys, and that's it. I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. But community first. So that's pretty much why this app is free to the public. Brother Lou asking, how can we probably make a profit or how do we monetize this thing? I was explaining to him that we could do it from the legal standpoint. These attorneys, what we found out, the way that they get business is they buy listings after they become public information, and they pay thousands of dollars per month just to get in front of that public arrest record, you know, as quickly as possible. So when you get arrested and information becomes public, they go and buy it. So now we're getting out of that movement of...
Wait. Say that again, brother. Say that again.
The attorneys don't want to pay for that because they get first dibs on who's getting locked up.
Exactly.
Right.
That's a steady foot. Yeah. So as somebody gets locked up, and they got it, they could be the first ones on the scene. So that's more money for them. That's freaking genius,
that's
brother.
That's the monetization part where we can fund anything that you brothers are talking about doing.
Wow.
All we do is populate it, and then we select the attorneys. We charge them a setup fee and a monthly fee, and that way we can set up some form of a way, because we're doing on this end, we're doing we call it not for profit. It ain't non profit because you do make a profit, but not for profit is more or less you get the monies in, you can take salaries, but you got to pay it out. There's certain distributorship that goes along with that, and there's a little $5,000 class that they force us to take in order to fund it and to run it correctly. So I'll have more information for you brothers on how they're doing that piece of the game, the 503C, and how they're getting this government money to fund a lot of the things that we're talking about getting done. So, that's what we're doing on, you know, in Houston, and we're starting to, again, a couple of groups clear that I am a part of, and LULAC and the AFL-CIO, or other organizations that are, you know, they're in the trenches with us, that we got access to their, you know, their staff, their people. So whatever we can do, if we need certain things done, I'd like to plug these guys in too. They're using me. So if I could find a way to use them too, to serve our cause, to better the communities across the board, let's not hesitate.
Okay.
But I'm about the community, man. I'm not so, you know, it's way bigger than the material stuff at this point in the game, because at this point it's more, hey, if we don't give our kids something to stand on, bro.
It's
a hard world out here.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's president, it's a hard world out here. It's going to get worse, man. It's crazy out here.
Father of daughters. You know, kids, girls missing. Yeah, we tried to put something together that.
That's crazy.
You know, so, but yeah, man, test it out. That's the app. Again, as I was telling him, I didn't come on to try to promote or sell nothing. I was coming in.
No, brother. I told the brothers. I said, listen, you know, we're gonna have. You know, in the blueprint, I said we're going to have brothers with different ideas. We're going to have people who are going to be able to bring things. And these are all things that are going to be assets. People have different experiences, and that's going to cause the creation of you know, different ways for people to actively work in the movement, people who are actively working to try to provide solutions to, you know, what's going on. The bottom line is that it's going to take an investment, right? It's going to take money to get these things done. If you look at how some of the other ethnic groups, I mean, we know that America it has a racist nature. Every immigrant group that came over here, they have a derogatory name for them. Jews, mm-hmm. what do they call them? Kikes, whatever they call them.
Yeah,
they call Italian guys, Dagos, and Waps, or whoever. Like, they have a racial slur for everybody. Nobody freaking complains. Now, granted, we did not come over here voluntarily. Granted, no one was subjected to the type of persecution and the continual persecution. But we have to accept the cards that we were dealt with, and then we have to just start organizing. And I think one of the biggest problems that happened that's different between us and everyone else that here in this country, we haven't accepted the American culture of productivity and cooperation.
Well,
we are the only. I'm sorry.
I mean, those guys got restitution now, don't.
No, I'm not saying that they haven't. The Jews have, but the Irish has. The Irish hasn't. The Chinese people haven't. The Asians.
They didn't give it to them in America, but they gave it to their country.
Who are you talking about?
Italy got restitution.
Italy got restitution?
Look that up.
Yeah,
Italy got restitution
for what?
When they bombed Pearl Harbor.
I know, Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
The Japanese got restitution in America when they gathered them in concentration camps. And Japanese Americans gathered like maybe 40,000 or 50,000 each Japanese American collected here in this country, you know. But that was in World War II when they bombed to put the nuclear bomb on the two Japanese states out there, which is Nagasaki, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. The Japanese Americans that was here, they was put in concentration camps. And they was took out of their homes and out of their businesses, and they received, restitution and reparations for it. It was about maybe 20,000 to 50,000 each Japanese American here in the United States.
Brother Rock, why did you not introduce yourself when we were going around? Brother, it's nice to have you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, I don't know about I was back and forth with things. Yeah, I'm Brother Rock. How's everybody? Pleased to meet everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so listen, but Brother Jim, you said the Italians got restitution?
Yes.
And the Irish got restitution?
Man, Ireland, France, all them boys, of it, you know, Haiti, and, I mean, yeah, they
Well,
they
the reason, but in order to get restitution, we have to get economic respect, you know what I'm saying? Like for instance, you know, I spoke about this before, in this country, we're talking about now, all of these racist white people right now, as we speak, they're not racist to these people who you're talking about anymore. They're only racist towards black people. Now, they may say they hate everybody, but whether they're white racist cops or white racist Americans, you only see crimes or acts of violence committed against blacks only. You don't see nothing on the news where they attacking no Arabs, talking about a terrorist, you know what I'm saying, and killing them in the street, whether it's racist police or racist white people. They go into black churches. You know what I'm saying? They're taking out nine people and stuff like that. You get doing the George Zimmerman thing. You don't see no white racist people running up on no Asians, taking out no Asians or no Hindu Indians with red dots on their forehead, knocking them out or killing them. That's not happening. You know, no racist white people ain't bodying them. You know what I'm saying? They're not suffering no discrimination or none of that. The only people that are suffering discrimination as we speak, you know what I'm saying, falls like violence committed against is black people. Don't get me wrong. These racist white people may not like the people I just mentioned. When it comes down to initiate acts of violence, they don't do it against them in the United States.
Yeah.
Mm. At the moment,
I'm looking up this Irish. I'm looking up this Irish.
Boom, checking that out.
Yeah, because that didn't happen. they gave the money back to Japan for bombing Japan, but they didn't give the Irish people
any no, and they gave every Japanese American that was here in the United
no,
States.
No, I didn't research that. I just was the Irish.
Right.
Because here's the thing about the Irish. The Irish and the Chinese, right? So the Irish guys, when they did the Great Expansion West, the Irish guys were given, like, a stick of dynamite in one hand and then a bottle of, like, nitroglycerin in the other one, and sending these guys into the caves. And these are the guys how you get the tunnels clear across, like, the country for the train tracks. Them and the
right.
Chinese guys. That's exactly what they were doing to the Irish people. So, and you know, and the Irish have this thing going on and say, well, we came to this country and we were slaves too. You guys were indentured servants. Guys came over, somebody sponsored you, you had to pay off your debt, boo-hoo-hoo, but they were never given any restitution. Now, they were mistreated, and then they were huddled, and so they were given that homestead, when that homestead period happened, when America was allowed to, when you can just go out, be a settler, and say, hey, I'm claiming this patch of land, somewhere in the Midwest, there were a lot of Germans and Irish people who did that. And then what happened is, like, when cities began springing up, Chicago and all these other places, New York and all the Irish people immediately huddled there. And then because they were hardworking and or whatever else, I guess just by virtue of their numbers, they were some of the first to get city jobs. They were some of the first to get public services. No, hey, listen. I'm just trying to give you. I'm just trying to give you something to your point. But in New York, I mean, but if you want to say that, these new age white people who are claiming racism, who are claiming reverse racism, their gripe is affirmative action. They're saying we were discriminated against. They're saying we were persecuted. We were marginalized, and they're saying it was at the time of affirmative action,
right?
Housing projects, right, and all these other social programs, right? These things, not welfare, but just these other social things. They were implemented as a way to allow us to survive. It was not supposed to be you go on welfare and you live on it. It was supposed to be you get a little assistance until you're able to get a job, and then you
get
move on
feet.
To the next phase in your life. Right, exactly. Because that is what a logical... So remember earlier, Brother Jim, we were having discussions and we were talking about the difference between the logical and the illogical. So
right.
To a logical, sane person, it would say that you say, okay, hey, you know what? These people are having it a little rough. You got a whole other part of this black population. We are affording them job opportunities. We are affording them education. We are opening things up. We are providing this affirmative action and all these other things. And they are seizing these opportunities. What the powers that be thought at the time was that, okay, well, you know what? Maybe we opened up the gap, but maybe it's too narrow. So in the meanwhile, until more of them can filter through this narrow opportunity field, let's provide some of these other social programs. They were not able to participate in the expansion of the home ownership part of America, which is when, like, suburbs started being built and all of that stuff. They were not able to participate in the Homestead Act when land and stuff was given out. So let's just go and start creating really, I don't want to say radical, what is the word I want to say? Tightly defined programs that are for them specifically, that are for black people specifically. What happened, other minorities co-opted our opportunities. They started the word minority. So they started using women, they started using Spanish people, and even the Jewish people came in on this. And now the LGBTQ people are coming in. Everybody is using stuff that was set aside for us. because we were not clogging the freaking narrow gaps. The opportunity were there, but people was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to make welfare a way of life. I'm going to make We all know people like that who, I mean, their way of life, it's generation from generation to generation. It was the grandmother, the mother, the daughter. Now she got the kids doing it, and their kids are going to do it. That's just what it is.
Yo, not to touch on, you know, the most disgusting thing I heard one time on the train, I'm on my business. This girl was talking about she can't wait till she's 18 to get off her mother's budget and get her own welfare. That shit pissed me off. Well, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
It's a generational curse.
Yo, it was so sad. It was like, that was her big aspiration to turn 18, get off her mother's budget, and get her own welfare. That's her dream. That's her goals. And I looked and I just, you know, I'm not really going to say nothing because it's going to go wrong. And I just,
can I ask
crazy.
You brother the question? Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
We all kind of understand what we're up against. We know the fight because we didn't lived it. We didn't battle it. What is it that we can all collectively come up with a solution to make a dent in this fight as brothers? Now, we're intelligent. We're creative. We already know, or we wouldn't be on this conference given our time, over something that we went on Facebook and said, hey, these brothers are trying to make a difference. Let me call it. Let's find out how we can all collectively use what we've been blessed with to make a difference.
Right.
Do we have any, because I'm starting to feel just from the outside coming in, as far as an agenda, I'm thinking like, okay, are we going to make the focal point of what we're trying to do is curb police brutality? Because we can't fight all the battles. You know what I mean?
You're saying pick one, prioritize. What's what?
You said pick a battle.
Make sure we start to, you know what I mean, to find our target.
Prioritize.
You're saying sporadic right now?
What's our mission? Or we got a mission statement that we all go with? Or I mean, I seen the website. I didn't get a chance. So I guess maybe I'm jumping the gun because I didn't get a chance, bro. I got a workout crew that we pump iron pretty hard together with. So, yeah, man, but I hadn't had a chance to fully go through the website. But I'm interested in what you guys are doing because it's like, hey, if anything we can do to bring up our community wherever we're at, and having, you know, technology, we don't have to be in the same, but we can still fight the same battle. So we're making police brutality our thing, I'd like to plug into my resources and start to gather their knowledge on what we're trying to accomplish, and then I can bring, you know, some more to the table to try to figure out how do we want to attack this thing collectively. That
right.
makes sense.
Okay. So you and brother Ron weren't involved in the conversations for, I guess I want to say, the past week or two. So basically what has been happening, so Brother Kev, Brother Rock, Brother Cujo, Brother Kareem, we had some other brothers, we had some sisters. What we have been talking about is finding the hook to communicate to our brothers and sisters the severity of the situation, and to compel them to take action. Perfect example. I had about 20 some odd people tell me, okay, cool, I'm going to show up for this thing. People were texting me, emailing me right this moment. I am sending people the same information that I sent you all, the PIN number, the phone number, or whatever. It is about, what is it, 7 of us, 8 of us here? 2 people are mute. The point what I'm saying to you is that we are making these efforts, but there's nothing that's really, really stinging them. And so as brothers were making suggestions through the week, The only thing, the only way to know what's going to work is to test. And that's me talking from a marketing perspective, right? Because we can think, okay, cool. Hey, do you want to rebuild the Black community? Do you want to contribute to rebuilding the Black community? Do you care about what's going on in the Black community? You can say that to a brother. You can say that to a sister. Undoubtedly, she's going to say, yeah. But then when it say, okay, cool, here's the action, here's the plan, here's the action, when they are not making the overture to taking the action, then either there's a disconnect or they're not as passionate enough or we haven't struck the chord. So one of the angles that we have been testing the past week has been the police brutality angle. So that video, when the brother got chokeslammed, now mind you, remember there was a little confusion with the crazy Facebook killer guy, right? So he stole a lot of thunder. But the video that's on the Facebook page now, where the guy's name is Nandy Kane Jr., where the cop walked up, chokeslammed him, started punching him in the face, we reached about 16,000 people, and we got about 6,000 views. We got 183 shares and 178 people reacting, mad, thumbs up, whatever else it is, and comment. That's an indicator that people are upset by this police brutality aspect. I have a lot of content that is getting to the heart of the matter. I had a recent video where we're sitting there and we're talking about math. Actually, the name of the video is called Fun with Math. And it is basically breaking down how we can achieve raise $336 million a year and then use that money to reclaim the businesses in our community, the corner stores, especially from the Arabs and the Asians, our corner stores, our beauty supplies, shops, and any other kind of food restaurant that isn't Black owned. Maybe we let the Chinese people live and maybe we let the Spanish people live because they got good food and whatever. That video is direct and to the point, and it has no fluff, anything. 1,400 people, it went out to 1,400 people, and it only has 201 views. So that is talking about the business. That is getting directly to the point. You understand? But they are not striking any chords with
anybody.
Right, there you go. Perfectly right. It is not resonating. It is not resonating. Well,
it's not turning into membership.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that leads me to believe presentation. It's like if they show the police guy and he gets that many hits, and then you go and show a business structure and we don't get that many hits, then we got to look at the structure of what the content was in that video that didn't get those hits. And now it may have been precise and to the point of how we can structure this thing, but I think instead of just slapping them over the head per se, maybe you're going to have to walk them down the hill.
Well, people like shock value. People look for the shock value.
Or maybe put it in plainer language. In plain language now, but make it a little bit more simple.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I don't know if that's what you mean by that, Brother Jimmy,
sometimes you gotta
something along that line. You know what I mean? Something where
brothers
that didn't have a chance to maybe get a college education or.
There you go. Okay, we're on the same page.
You know what I mean? Okay. And it's that guy. That
hello.
Guy.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Oh, who do we have?
I'm Aisha. Oh.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing, sis?
How y'all doing?
Peace. How you doing?
What time are you on? Eastern? Or
no. I don't know. It's 8:59 where I'm at.
Oh, see, you're an hour behind, but you here. We still here. We've been here for an hour.
I'm sorry.
No. You here. You here. Welcome to the call, sister.
Oh, hi.
So here's the protocol. We address each other as brother and sister out of respect. So it's Sister Aisha, right?
Oh, my name is Aisha.
Aisha, okay. I'll get it right. I will get it right, Sister Aisha. So we have Sister Aisha, and gentlemen, if you gentlemen want to go around, I'm Brother Lou.
Brother
one
Kev.
Of the co-founders. There you go.
Brother Ron.
Brother Kareem.
So that was Brother Jim and Brother Kareem. And we have Brother Rock. He's muted. I don't know why he's muted. Okay. So, Sister, what we were doing, we were discussing, well, previously, we were discussing how to address this racial police brutality. We were talking about solutions to addressing the police brutality. So Brother Jim, we were discussing some different strategies in terms of getting the federal government involved, hiring some lawyers and lobbyists to revisit this act of 1870. It's called the Enforcement Act of 1870. It was put on the books specifically to protect Black people from the abuses of law enforcement. Excuse me. It's been changed, modified a little bit over the years. It's known as Section 242, Subsection 18, U.S. 242, Subsection 18 today. Brother Jim has his team. They have developed an app where if you're pulled over by the police, you can press one button and it will automatically start video and audio recording the situation, and it will send it out to up to five different people. They call lifelines. So it would be like your mother, brother, sister, father, things like that, so that they would know what's going on with you. And then also so that there is documentation about the incident. Are you with us so far, Sister?
Is this for Black people?
This is for Black people.
It's not for Black people, right? Yeah, that's
yes.
What I'm
talking. Yes. Okay. So those were the solutions we proposed to deal with the police violence. And so now what we are talking about. We were talking about how to like reclaim our businesses from like the corner stores. I don't know what's going on in your neighborhood, but like in our neighborhood, the corner stores are usually owned by like Arabs and like the nail salon. Oh, right.
Everything owned by Chinese people, Arabs, more African descent, like Nigerians and Egyptians and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Like, Aisha, where are you calling from?
I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
So it's
the same way in both places. That's what I wanted to ask you. So is it the same way in both places, in Oklahoma and Indianapolis, or no?
Man, I'm a brother. I'm so sorry to come and see y'all like that. Because I don't be around a lot of, you know, brothers, put it like that.
You don't.
I just feel like a lot of our brothers and sisters, we are kind of whitewashed a little, you know. We just got to get back to our roots. And a lot of this stuff starting at home, you know. And a lot of people ain't keeping, you know, starting at home where it's supposed to be. Man, we can't start at no cornerstone or nothing like that. Man, we need to start with our kids, man, because when we dead and gone, all y'all brothers that's on the phone, when we dead and gone, it's going to be our kids that's here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we got
to teach
them something. You know what I mean? We had role models when we was growing up. These kids do not have no real role models, and it's just sad.
Well, actually, Sister, we do have an organization in place that that is directed towards our youth, you know. And I'm Kareem Nelson. I'm founding executive director of a program called Wheelchairs Against Guns, and our direct point is to target the kids in schools and get their minds equipped for what it is that they have to go for. So our organization, I'm one of the founding members of Black Wallace Matter, and my organization is also a part of Black Wallace Matter. And when it comes to addressing the youth and the kids, we would want to use the avenue that we already have in place for the kids. But that's beautiful that you said that. But We're thinking about that also too, sister.
And about the police brutality, man, I feel like police, they're going to be killing black folks for the rest of our life, man. They're trying to kill us anyway. They're going to make us extinct if that's the last thing that they do on this earth. So I feel like, you know, we're going to protect.
Well, that's why we started this here, so we could, you know, make sure.
Man, but ain't nobody trying to be violent like they trying to be violent, you know? And that's the thing. Like, we don't got no, like, real black men that's standing up for every black person, every black girl, every black boy. Like, we ain't got no black Miller, nothing. No black Miller, nobody. Ain't nobody trying to help nobody. Ain't nobody trying to save nobody. Like, I wish that I had what a lot of these grown men, like, grown men with money. Like, they don't know what to do with all the money that they have. Like, I have male abandonment issues like any other girl probably out here in this world, you know? We all black, you know? It's sad. I just see so much sad stuff.
I'm sorry, sis. We had another brother join in. I think he was saying something. Please, who came? Who's
no,
on board?
No, I was going to say something. I was like, yeah, and I hear her crying. That's
brother, this is Brother Steve. I just joined.
Nature is,
I do. It makes me want to cry, man. It makes me, it hurts my heart, man. I need to talk
to like, right. It's not like nothing is being done or it's just going unnoticed or don't nobody care. And I can tell you that, you know, I feel you because I deal with it on a regular basis. But like we're saying, the first part of that is just knowing where your kid's at and knowing where we are at. And that was part of what we're talking about with this app. Again, imagine your son, your daughter, if they're in a situation, they can touch a button and you know exactly where they are and you can see an audio and video of exactly what's taking place around them. Immediately. So part of what we're talking about and what we're doing is connecting, and we do need the sisters' input. And I mean, it's these types of voices,
man.
That
y'all
strengthen us.
Man, we need so
we
much
need
more
to...
than that, y'all. My God.
We gotta start.
I wanted
we've just been joined by another brother. Brother Steve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, how you doing?
Greetings.
So
I'm doing well.
Peace, brother. Okay. So we have a few people on but brother I'm sorry, Sister Aisha. She is giving us a perspective from the sister's point of view. What I hear a lot of pain. I hear a lot of disappointment. I hear a sister that needs men, or that is expecting her men to like protect them. That's what I'm hearing. Is anybody else
for real, man? And it's serious. It is, y'all. Y'all don't even know me. My best friend, my brother, man, he died at 22 years old. My only friend out here in this world.
Sorry.
My daddy don't even, man, my daddy, he's nothing compared to my brother. Like, he cared about me, gave a fuck, man. I don't have that no more. And I got boys.
Okay, though.
Hey, daddy's not even here, man. My five-year-old just beat cancer, man. I'm out here doing this by myself.
No, you're not, though. You may feel that way.
I feel like it.
You're not on the battlefield by yourself. You're not in this fight alone. There's a lot of, And see, a lot of the fight is mental. We can easily say we defeated, but you got brothers like us on the phone versus what you're trying to do. You still have hope. You still feel like there's something.
Yes, I do.
So then you can't just take that. You gotta ride that piece out. What you're the group that you're dealing with now is some positive brothers that have raised their hands to say, hey, we want to change. We want to put our minds together and put our guns down. We're not pointing them at each other no more. We're pointing our brains in a way to come up with a solution. So when you come into an environment like this, and again, I feel your cry, and it hurts us, just like this brother was saying. But come in with an open mind of knowing that there is solutions that it's like, I guess I can refer to Novocaine. You know, it'll work instantly. But give it some time, yeah. And you'll see some respect. But I say that to say, hey, we're not done. You're not. We're
I
the
just
battle.
Feel like we all been misled.
The battle ain't won overnight. We can't pick. We can't plant today and pick tomorrow. But we're definitely planning. We've got some strong minds on here, and this is my first time talking to these brothers. But to hear their wealth of knowledge and they're willing to fight, oh yeah, you got this. Nobody's giving up, and I just say that.
Man, I'm willing to put my money. I'm willing to put my money,
no,
my
just give
blood,
your time.
Sweat,
your time is your money. Help
there.
Us find other sisters like you who can come to these types of meetings on time, and we can collectively come up with solutions to not only help the females, but the young boys also. Because,
yeah. Man, we just really need to help everybody with their education, man. That's what we need. Everybody, all our black people need education, man. Honest, terrible things to waste, man, and everybody wasting their time. Like, their time is cool. Like, that's not cool, man. That's sacrificing your time, and don't need to even be wasted. Time is so precious. It's just wasted.
But it is. It's wasted on the youth because they don't realize how serious it is until it's too late. So that's for us to sit there and try to instill in them now at a young age. I got kids. I got grandkids. I try to instill in them all the time, you know, the importance of education and the importance of just being a young man and a young woman in life and carrying yourself respectively, and everybody does that.
But you know what? My mama friend didn't. You can't tell your kids what to do. You got to show them. They don't
go absolutely.
About
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How many people do you know? How many people do you know that drink
watching.
And smoke weed with their kids? That's the worst thing in the world. I had a friend, she drinks, she smoked weed with her kids, and she called me and my wife and talk about how her kids is cursed out. Yeah, you no longer their mother. You they friends.
Exactly.
And that's how
you
it's gonna
friend.
Be. My son is 23 years old. I can still give him the look and stop everything in his tracks. And he got a kid.
Yeah, right.
You know, all right,
yeah.
So I'm his friend, I'm his father first. I'm his father first, then I'm his friend. And that's what everyone doesn't have. These people want to be their kids' friends before anything else.
Well, brothers, I'm a single mom. I'm very smart. I'm a real high head at this point right now in my life.
But we need your help.
And
we need your help.
But you call it high headedness more like passion. That high headedness is passion. That's what we need.
I'm so misunderstood. People take me like, you aggressive and I'm this. I need to stop. And I be looking at them like, man, if you do not, leave me alone. I don't like people try to tell me how I'm supposed to be.
Here's something that I understood this. I understood this from a personal level of being raised by a single mother who bust her behind to do every single thing possible to afford me and my siblings, you know, every kind of creature comfort and luxury and whatever it is that she was able to provide, even though we were living in whatever kind of environment. The plan, part of the, so I know not everyone on this call has been able to digest all the content. You know, everyone hasn't been able to digest the full blueprint or so on and so forth. One of the main components of the blueprint, and if you get a chance, you can look on the Facebook page. There's a video there, and it's called Priority. And the priority of this organization is to help our single black mothers. Single black mothers comprise 78% of the people living in poverty in America. And this blueprint is designed specifically to help them because they have the baby, right? And so what we want to do is we want to create job opportunities and educational opportunities for you sisters. And while you sisters are taking care of your business and doing, you know, at work or at school or whatever else it is, we are providing child care, affordable child care, or maybe even free child care, depending on how much money starts working. And then while your child is at the facility, at the community resource center, your child is learning about their history, They're learning about computer programming. They're learning about conflict resolution. So, like the brother Kareem, like brother Kareem
so,
said,
so
right
it's gonna
now,
be like a liberation school for kids.
I'm sorry.
This is gonna be like a liberation school for kids.
Well, I'm not familiar with a liberation school is, but I am. But we have.
Hey,
we have
that's what I'm familiar with.
Okay, okay, okay. So if that's what it is, I mean, I'm just not familiar. But it's so we're going to do that. We're going to have trades training, right? So our second priority is to help our brothers, especially fathers who are the heads of their household still, right? They if this is the brother, some brothers are unemployed or underemployed. We help this brother get a better job. We have another brother that's Brother Cujo. We had another brother, Brother Marlon. They are in the transportation industry. They were like one of the fastest, easiest ways for a brother who may be coming from prison or whatever it is, for him to get a good paying job, go get a CDL, and then be part of this transportation industry because they just need tons and tons of truckers. They need a lot of drivers. So we are looking to implement programs to help these brothers along, to get them in there. And then what? I'm sorry?
To get the city jobs too, man.
Yeah, well, see, you're saying it from a New York perspective, but I don't know how many city jobs there are in Oklahoma or
right.
Indiana, right? So I'm just thinking on a whole, on an overall level, right? So when these types of opportunities are presented to these brothers and their sisters, what happens is the family, the black family unit gets stronger. Now you do not have young brothers, the kids running out there with the pants hanging down and shooting and getting involved in all of the nonsense, because they have a parental guidance. They have nurturing from their parents. And then, so like you said, when we grew up, we had role models. They have that again, because there are going to be people at these community resource centers. These are going to be brothers and sisters of integrity, of character, and they're going to tell them, listen, this is how you carry yourself as a black person. This is how you have self-respect as a black person. And basically what happens is they're going to have a new paradigm, a new concept, a new idea of what it means to be black. And maybe it's not going to happen for our generation. Actually, I know it's not going to happen for our generation. And it's definitely not going to happen for these little weird kids that's using these drugs right now. But maybe
God, I don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah, right. So we're like, look, you know, and I'm not even fighting it. I'm not even fighting it because I don't understand them. But the generation after that and the generations after that.
7 years old. What's, so smart.
Sorry?
Man, my oldest is 11. She's so smart, man. She's the future, man. Them the future right there. And I'm not about to let nobody take my baby to no girl, boy, for none of that.
That's what I'm saying.
But my
so
thing is, this is my thing with the workforce. They don't want to accept us, man. They want us to cut our hair off if we shredded up. They want us to do all this different shit, man, because we're black, man. And I don't appreciate that. They want to treat you like a slave, like do this for $7, man. I got kids at home, man. You're not about to keep trying to tell me what I need to do for this change, because I got talent, you know what I mean? I could get out here and make my own money. That's what we need to be out here showing people how to get their own money and make their own businesses, do their own thing, because every black person out here is so talented. Ain't no reason why we should be working for nobody, man. That's what's wrong with people right now. My friend called them Negro Pen.
Right on.
That's what she called.
Absolutely.
Because how do you think this white man is going to treat you? He giving you this money. He giving you a job.
Right.
You
right.
better work this
right.
motherfucker for this change. You feel me? And, yeah. and it's changed yeah. to him. And you think it's a whole bunch of money. It's changed to him. And fuck that. I'm not about to do that no more. I'm not about to let nobody just treat me like that. Because I don't need your money. I don't need your recognition. Shit, I know who I am. Do you know who you are? Shit. I'm just like
I hope y'all hearing our sister. I hope y'all hearing it. Do y'all hear it? Like, I'm hoping y'all hearing the fire in her voice.
Absolutely.
Man, I do not. I don't. My baby daddy can't stand me. None of them.
Probably too strong for him.
But I don't play about my sons. I don't play about my daughters. I don't play about my shit.
That's what I'm talking about.
I have male abandonment issues. And my kids do too.
I'm going to be honest with you. We have not addressed anything in regards to the dynamic, to the relationship dynamic between the black man and the black woman. That is a very complicated thing. I'm sure all of us have our own stories, so I'm totally staying away from that.
I think that's what needs to be addressed. Male abandonment. It has to do with men and women. It has to do with both. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't just the man's fault. You know what I mean? It's both. I'm not gonna just.
Can we all agree that the definition of a man is distorted where we come from? I mean, and coming up, can we all agree
Absolutely.
All right. So we could agree to that. So then we need to instill in our children the correct definition of a man, right?
Right on.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So what is that? Where is that at? Shit.
Sister, that's one thing. When we hang up, I want you to go check out my organization, because it's organizations out here that's doing it. It's just that we don't have the backing. We don't have the right people backing us so we can get to it so you would know about us.
I got some people that got some money, and they don't know what to do with it. So I feel like if y'all talking about some business, man, I could talk about some business to some people with some money.
We need you to go study the black wallets, man. We need you to go look at the videos.
Man, I am. These are black wallets, man. These are black wallets I'm talking about. Got a whole bunch of money. Don't know what to do with it. And they need to be buying the block.
I got real estate. I can show you how to invest in real estate and make money back on your returns.
Listen, brother.
We're not gonna turn this into a let me pitch my project type thing.
Just go study the movement, and then so you can be well versed when you go speak to these people with the money. And if you have the people with the money, if you study if you go look at the video and study the Black Wallace Matter website, you'll be well versed in when you're talking to these people. That's the
I'm gonna present it real nice. I just wanna make sure, I got the right information.
Right. Yeah. Brother Steve.
Presentation is right.
Brother Steve, you've been quiet, and I know you have. We've spoken, and I know you have some insight in terms of how to. About like the impression of the black man and so on and so forth. You wanna address anything that the sister had to say, or
I just been sitting back, just really taking in everything everybody's saying. And before I begin, I wanna begin by saying, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger. I greet you all tonight on this call with the greeting words of peace. And the message teaches us that this is the best greeting that you can give your brothers and sisters, because not only is it a greeting, but it's a prayer. It's a short prayer saying that I extend peace to you. And what peace is, it's just giving you the freedom to be who you are. Letting you know that I come in peace to you, that from my hands to my mouth, I will not do anything to harm you or anything to cause you any kind of discomfort. So this is why I want to start what I'm about to say with the greeting words of peace. I extend peace to everybody on this conference call, by both our brothers and our sisters. Peace.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
There's so many issues that plague us. And, you don't really know where to start, But I hear the sister talking with so much conviction and so much passion in her voice. And I understand her pain, because God puts a nature in the woman that demands something from us. It demands from us to protect our woman, to elevate our woman, to lift our woman
up. Absolutely.
Because when you study ancient civilizations and their teachings, civilization is always gauged. The success is always gauged by the success and elevation of a woman, because the woman is the fields that we use to plant the seeds for our future soldiers, our future leaders, our future teachers, our future guides, our prophets, our messengers, and so on and so forth. It is through our women that these great men and women come, and our people are reproduced. So God has put it in her nature to demand that from us. So she's well within her rights to be angry and frustrated, you know what I'm saying, at the current state and condition of the black man. But what we have to understand, too, is that the image of the black man is so distorted. It's so destroyed and broken down that it weakens us in our ability to give that woman what she needs. But it's a systematic thing that's going on. Y'all talk about single mother households. That's a systematic thing that this enemy has put in place to interfere with that natural bond between the man and the woman. So we know these things, and we know the problems that result, that comes about as a result of this systematic plotting and planning. Now, I believe the first thing that we have to really do and think about, because we have so many issues to address, but the main issue is ourselves. One of my brothers always used to tell me, he said, everything on the outside that looks difficult is only an example of what's going on inside you. So you have to begin to take responsibility for yourself to be the change that you want to see in others and in your environment. So this is why our knowledge of ourselves is paramount. It's paramount to the changing of our condition. It's paramount. So anytime I interject God into my speech or to my talking, into my dialogue, I'm not talking about no mystery spook God. I'm talking about the God force that lives inside of each and every one of us. And we have to reconnect with a historical base to activate that God force that's in us that's been put to sleep. And how we do that is by elevating our moral standard. You mentioned that you wanted to put together a community of, you wanted to put people in it that is of high moral standards and different things like that. You know, that's right. These are the kind of people that we should have in place as examples of change, but it starts with each and every last one of us, both men and women. We have to learn to elevate our moral standards. That's first and foremost. This is the beginning of beautifying your community and really making a change, because the change has to begin with self. The change has to begin with self, and when you begin to change self, then you can begin to change and control things around you. You can begin to change and control your environment, because you are a born master. We all are born masters, you know. This is why men always have juxtaposed power throughout the wheel of time, because we are born rulers. We are born masters, you understand, not masters of others, but masters of ourselves and masters of our environment. Two kings can come together and change things. This is what this whole dialogue is about. You know what I'm saying? This is an example of this dialogue that we're having tonight. We have kings coming together trying to come up with solutions, come up with, you know, ways to address our problems. We have queens coming up with the strength and the mind to want to address and solve our problems. So the first step is more elevation within our own selves. Another thing you mentioned that was hit. You said it was an educational paradigm, a paradigm shift. That's what's needed. You have to understand, being over here in America, we've been systematically destroyed through the institution of slavery. And today, is it the slavery of our ancestors? But in a sense, it is. Because mass incarceration is another form of slavery. The welfare system is another form of slave. You see,
but this is going through more mental slavery, like he said, than anything, man. This is
exactly.
Like prisoners in our own mind, in our own body, because we don't know who
and
the hell we are.
You're exactly
going around
right.
trying
and
to
you're,
be every other
exactly
fucking thing
right.
that everybody else is. That's crazy.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's a more poisonous slavery, because when you think you're free, you don't think you're
right.
a slave when you think you're free. So they have a mind and a mental control over us that we don't see, because we don't recognize and understand and know who we are as people. You understand?
But
so this
okay,
is,
I hear that, right? I hear people say that. I've been hearing this for years, since I was about, let me just say 1986. 1986 was the year that I, quote unquote, gained knowledge of self, right? So I was about 12, 14, I don't know, something like that. And what happened was, so I learned some other kind of information. Then as I got older and, you know, was progressing through high school, I learned some more Afrocentric education and more Afrocentric information. And I believe all of us here have some degree of historical knowledge and, you know, all these other different things. And I think we know it all on a larger scale, right? So now the information is available. But Brother Ron got to get up in the morning, so he had to bow out gracefully. But he will be joining us next week. And if anyone else has to get up, because, you know, we went on, and so, you know, we have people from different time zones. So when I said at 9 o'clock, you know, people got on at 9 o'clock their time zone. So,
right.
But so the thing is, right, so we do have a nugget. We do have a root of some kind of knowledge. I think what we need to do, though, right, so you go with the historic and you go with the Afrocentric knowledge, but really what I think our people need is a root in this American, Black, African-American knowledge. I think we need
Man.
A root in his, unless you plan on leaving America, unless you plan on leaving America, what we were doing back in Africa or when it was Pangea or whatever else, it has no bearing on what we are doing right now. We need to learn to master these laws. We need to learn. We need to learn about our brothers and sisters that have mastered the laws. We need to learn about our brothers and sisters that have mastered this capitalist system. We need to learn about our brothers and sisters who carried themselves with integrity, who carried themselves with dignity, with who commanded, because there were Black people that commanded the respect of white people. We also need to wake up.
Yeah, and it was something that was passive, too.
I'm sorry?
Like, I don't understand. Like, man, when they told
me. I'm going to tell you what it is, sister. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. Listen, you said you're not around a lot of brothers, so I'm assuming you're around white people too. So are you around white people?
I just moved from Indianapolis to Tulsa. Where I lived at, I live by the airport in Indianapolis, and I have a lot of races where I was living. It was Mexicans, Africans, Caucasians, Black people. You know, we're just considered Black people. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's all different kind of people.
Okay. What is happening now is that there are a lot of Black people who, there are a lot of white people who are also going through whatever they're going through. They're going through marginalization. They have always been going through it, but when things get bad, because we are so low on the totem pole, we get squished even more, we get pressed even more, and even when things are good for the rest of the economy, for the rest of the world, things are just like slightly a little bit better for us. That is the reason
why. Because we're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be in America.
Can I make a quick point real quick?
Go on.
I heard what you said and understood everything you're saying. But when I talk about a knowledge of self, I'm not talking about the old knowledge of where we came from 15, 20, 30,000 years ago. We know that that history is here, and we know that that's to be true. But a knowledge of ourselves and understanding our relationship to this universe, to this earth, to this place that we're living in now, and to this system that we're under, a knowledge of self will help us begin to change our condition, because first and foremost, we have to realize that, and I think we definitely know, especially those of us on this call right here, that we're living in a white man's society. You know, right. How does he continue? How does he continue to rule and dominate us? He continues
because we
to
don't
rule
know the rules of the game. That's why.
Exactly. He continues to rule and dominate us because he has thoroughly put us to sleep. He has turned us into himself through his education. And this is why you said yourself, Brother Lou, that we need a paradigm shift in education. Well, if you want a paradigm shift in education, where do you think it's going to come from? It ain't going to come from him. Because as long as you learning his ways and you think you're going to outslick him, then you already lost in the beginning. Because
I'm sorry not to cut you off. So I guess you missed it. Prior to you coming on, we were talking about creating our own institutions that do that.
Yes,
but we were
yes,
just
sir.
So
yes,
and so and so we did and so we when so we are going to include so we, so we are going to include, you know, racial heritage, pride and heritage and you know and,
right.
and history of all of that
right.
But what any new curriculum, any new curriculum that we start implementing for our children, one, it needs to include science, technology, and engineering and math, right? STEM. It needs to include
right.
that, because that is the democratizing education for the world, right?
Right.
So they can have a root, they can have a grounding in their in terms of their historic education. But more importantly, they need to understand how to legally maneuver here in America and how
yes, sir.
To get
absolutely
done.
Absolutely. When you in another
right.
man's house, you should definitely know the rules before you start playing the game. That's a gift.
Okay, there you go.
When you in another man's house, well, what we want to do is create an entirely different world. So we have to come up with an education that's going to jog the minds of our young people to make them and bring out of them what's already in them. See, my philosophy or perception and way of looking at things is rooted in a knowledge of God. And I know that when we spoke, you said you're not a real religious person, and neither am I. You know what I'm saying? Neither am I. But I believe that those same
okay.
subjects that you're talking about, you said STEM, you're talking about science, technology, electronics, and mathematics. Well, we didn't create none of those things. You understand? We mastered those things, and we can master those things, but we have to give praise and acknowledgement to the creator of all those things and help and ask his help in assisting us in mastering these things. See, when we begin to take God out of the picture, then we are already putting ourselves at a disadvantage. And I know, like you said, you're not religious, and when we hear God and the word of God and different things like that, we put our minds in a box. But that's not what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to empower us, to let us know that, okay, with this knowledge of God and knowing that God created himself out of nothing in a hostile environment that was the universe, we can look at our situation. We're in a hostile environment here in America around total darkness, around total ignorance. And we have to overcome the impossible right now. What we're doing is trying to overcome the impossible because by all rights and because by all measures, if you look back at our systematic picking and destruction and the things that we went through, we're supposed to be a completely dead and decimated people. And in a sense, we are. But even in that vacuum and even in that condition, we're still trying to overcome. We're still trying to overcome the impossible. We're still trying to make something out of nothing. This is what God did in the beginning. And if we have this kind of knowledge, that's rooted in him, then there's nothing we can't do. It's not a feel-good speech or anything like that, but this is to reconnect us back to an historical base and give us the moral foundation that we need in order to move forward. See, because that's what we need. Our people are tired of hypocrisy. Our people are tired of going to churches and seeing reverends and deacons and Islamic clerics and different things like messing with little boys or, you know what I'm saying, saying one thing with their mouth and doing other things. No, we need to stomp that out of us. But these are things that we do because of our condition and who has raised us, who has been our teacher. It's this Caucasian man whose world that we live in that we don't understand and know how to navigate through because we don't know ourselves. We don't really know our enemy. So we don't know how to deal with our enemy. So that knowledge has to be rooted in the creator of all things in order for us to really begin to implement and grow ideas and thoughts in our minds that are really going to produce some kind of benefit for us. Because we can sit here and talk about the problem all day. We know the problem. Like you said, it's knowledge out there and it's been knowledge out there for the longest. But, okay, why is it so hard to put together a group of Negroes? Why is it so hard to bring together a group of like-minded? See, there it is again. See, if you talking about they just want the money, that's because their moral standard has been compromised. See, you can't do good work, God work, the people's work for the lust of money. You can't do that. Now, central because
hold on, hold on. Brother Jim. Brother Jim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you, Brother Rock? Brother Rock. Oh, I think he probably have us on mute. Brother Jim, did you hear what he said? You can't do it for the lust of money. And remember when you were saying earlier we gotta maybe offer them something to invest and see some money back in this. And I was saying that's gonna take away from the purity of the movement because the people that we need at the onset, the people like us, right? The people who come together. She's so passionate and she's so fired up.
For the love of my people, I'm willing to. Those are the people that we have to be. Now, when the other people come,
when this thing builds like a snowball, right? Because it's our brother. We all black. Our brothers and sisters, y'all know how they are. When this thing picks up, when this thing starts going like a snowball, then everybody want to jump on. Because you know what happens? It becomes the end thing. It becomes the cool thing. It becomes the whatever thing. Yeah. Right. Well, look who's here. Look who's here at the ground floor. Look who's the first. Now, we got a few sisters. We got a few sisters who are, and, you know, I'm not kicking any dirt on them because they got to get up and go to work tomorrow. So they said they couldn't make it and they do whatever. But we have this sister that's here representing them, and I mean, she came on to this conference, this discussion, with so much fire, with so much. I mean, she gave us food for thought. She definitely gave us food for thought. So now she solidified
what we're doing is right.
Right. Well, yeah. Actually, I did get that. I did feel that way. I said, okay, cool. We're on the right path because we're trying to address the exact issues that she's saying. You're 100% right. But it was just good to actually have that validation to say this is someone who's coming on the platform and she's not timid, she's not weak, she's here to let her voice be heard. But again, it's not the motivation of, okay, what can I get? It's the motivation of I'm just sick and tired of seeing my brothers and sisters in this state, and I need them, and we need a plan, and we need to go forward. And that is all I was trying to say, Brother Cujo. He's not on the line, but he was actually supposed to do the facilitation tonight. That is what, and Brother Rock, I don't know, he probably has it muted or whatever, doing so. That was what I was trying to communicate to everyone from the onset. I said the founding members, the people that are at the round table, when we are discussing these plans and these ideas, they need to be here for the purest of reasons, because right now, there is nothing. I've invested thousands into this. I've invested my time, my money. I've stopped projects. I've put everything in it because I want my brothers and sisters. I don't know some of you, like, we got a brother from Tennessee, a sister in Oklahoma. We got a brother in Houston. We got people from New York. We got people from Chicago, people from Pennsylvania. We got all these disconnected people in all these places coming together for nobody knows me. We don't know each other.
I love y'all.
We don't know each other. But that's the thing. So this is the seed of unity. So so the brother Steve said, how can we get our people together? We're doing it. We're the seed right now. We're totally unrelated, totally disjointed.
Everybody ain't in it for the same reasons, man. The devil was an angel as well. You know what I mean? It's always a
I do want to say this. Fuck. Let's not turn these into religious discussions, because what's gonna happen? Because we got some brothers that are Christians. We got some brothers that are Muslims. We have some brothers that are agnostic. We have some brothers who are atheists, whatever, right? Yeah. We don't want to step on any toes in terms of religious beliefs, because the bottom line is it's so few of us. We're doing this as we move along. We're learning. And I just want to make, we have brothers that are Israelites, right? So I want to make this known that it doesn't matter what your religious persuasion, what your religious beliefs are. It's the fact that if you look in the mirror and you see a black face and you're saying, damn, you know what, I want to do something about what's going on to my people, because when these cops go outside our heads and these people do whatever it is, they don't stop to ask you if you're a Christian or a Muslim or an Israelite or a Jew or whatever. He don't ask you. He's just going up upside your head based on your skin color. So, I mean, that's that. I don't want this thing to get too long, though, right? Because we have to curtail the meeting. We will have these every week. We will have them every Thursday. 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
My brothers, I'm about to get off the call. I wanted to let y'all know I'm going to college in August to be a teacher. I wanted to teach my little black kid. I'll be having a degree in a couple years, so if y'all want me to be a teacher, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, listen, we salute you.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And I travel for my people.
Everything.
So that's the plan. That's part of the plan.
Everything we need is within our people. All the resources we need is within our people. We have to learn how to pool those resources, bring them together. You know what I mean? Whether it's time, whether it's education, whether it's money, we have to learn how to pull our resources, bring them together, and use them for the benefit of everybody. Use them for the benefit of everybody.
I got one more thing to tell y'all. I just got here in Tulsa like 2 days ago, and my friend was telling me, I know y'all heard about Black Wall Street, when they burnt down Black Wall Street out here. I know y'all heard about that. Y'all remember
Tulsa,
that?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in about 1890.
Yes, they burnt
1916, something like that.
They took their houses, and then they took all the smart black people, they killed them, raped them, and did all kind of stuff to them. And I just feel like if we gonna get smart and go to school, we gonna use our heads for us, and not for the white people, and not for the Negro pens. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot of Negroes that get sacrificed, man. And I just feel like ain't nobody really trying to listen to nobody. But I'm here to listen. I'm here to help if y'all want Isha to help.
No, sister, here's what I need. If you guys haven't already, I need you to go watch the videos on the page. and then really watch the blueprint on the website. The blueprint addresses all of this. We know we're not going to get all black people. There's roughly 42 million of us. There's roughly 42 million of us here in America. We only need 1 million to see things our way. That's 2.3% of the population. The other thing, once we put certain things in place that we want, that's going to help with our funding, we don't need people to see or hear or understand us. It's based off of what they already do, right? So as you guys get to know me, you will hear me say repeatedly, I don't care about what people are saying. I only care about what they do. I'm only looking at the data. I'm only looking at the facts. The facts are black people here in America, with all this problems, everything that's going on, we have never been richer at any time in history. We have made, last year, we have spent $1.3 trillion, which means we made more than that. But we save very little.
You know how much money people making hustling, braiding hair, selling dope? Man, people's making so much money, and they putting it nowhere. In their lungs, on their feet. Man, oh my God, it's just black people just lost their minds.
Like, okay, but here's the
oh, man.
So here's the thing. With that said, so I mean we can't wade into anything illegal, but we are looking at ways of piggybacking on all the natural things that black people do. That's the reason why we need the membership. Right, I just put a video on it. It's talking about how we have 1 million people. Right, we have three membership levels. We have the $10, $25, and the $50 level. Right, silver, gold, and platinum. If we get equal number of members across all of those, that's an average of $28 a month. If we have 1 million people, and our average is $28 a month, that's $28 million a year. Times 12, that is $336 million a year. We can get a $1 to $2 billion loan with that kind of revenue. We have $1 to $2 billion. That's every year. We could do so much. All this stuff that we're sitting here talking about, it's nothing. It's a check. It's no wishing, hoping, praying. It's no waiting for no white man. It's no waiting for no bureaucracy. It's nothing. It's us. Actually, the only way we're going to get anything done in this country is if we go and pay people to do the work, because that's how everything gets done. You can sit here, be moan. If somebody says, yo, I'm going to go give you $100,000 to go pluck feathers off chickens, guess what? You're going to be a feather plucking ass for $100,000. Listen, I hear you, sister, but at some point, I hear you. People say what they want to say until opportunities are real. And the opportunities are real, exactly. And the things are presented and things, and especially, and it plays a part on what you have going on in your life right now. So all I'm trying to say is that's exactly what we want to do, right? So we're talking now, we're discussing solutions. Once we actually have seed money to say to a sister such as yourself or another brother or whatever it is, it's like, listen, brother, this is what we need you to do. We are saying this to you. They're going to be looking at us like, why should I listen to you? You know why you should listen to us? You know why you should do this? Because we have a job for you. We're going to pay you $50,000, $60,000, $75,000, $80,000 a year. This is the protocol of this job. That straightens black people out. That straightens all black people out. This is what you have to do for this job.
My last name is Price. My uncle's all about his paper, and I'm telling you, if I present to him with a good presentation, I could get 100 G's out of my uncle, man. Right then and there.
Sister, watch the president.
I'm trying to do something for my people, my brothers and sisters, and my kids.
Sister, watch the presentation. Watch the presentation. To the end, the presentation addresses legacy. The presentation addresses single mothers. The presentation addresses fathers that are the heads of their households trying to do it. The presentation addresses police violence. The presentation addresses social projects such as community resource centers, where we have the kids, where the sisters and the brothers are at work, and we have a place for the youth to come and where they can learn, and they're not in there playing basketball and a whole bunch of other useless things. They're in there learning actual trades. Right, the presentation addresses what's going on with our current brothers and sisters and them not listening right now and how hard it is to talk about positivity with them. And it talks about how it doesn't even matter. We don't need their cooperation. We just need them to keep doing what they're doing. And then we have to put systems in place, right, because our oppression, I think Brother Steve said, our oppression is systematic. Our ascension is going to have to be systematic. So we're going to have to create systems where our brothers and sisters keep doing what it is that they're doing. So if it's a corner store and they're going and they're buying blunts and they're buying beer and they're buying potato chips and they're buying whatever else it is, well, then you know what? We own the corner store. Instead of us being greedy pigs, we take the profits and we redistribute that back to the cause, back to the help, to the benefit of the Black community. We don't have to ask you for what it is. You buy blunts and potato chips. You buy juices. You buy sodas. We just own those. We own the things instead of the Arabs and the Asians. We own the nail salons. We own the beauty supply stores. Yeah, listen, sister. The presentation addresses all of that. The videos on the thing, it addresses all of that. It addresses. It uses. If you notice anything, right? So Trump came. He had this executive order. He put in the travel ban. You know, for the refugee program or whatever it is. In one weekend, the ACLU with these Arab dudes and all that, they raised $24.1 million. 1 weekend. And then within the next week, blocked the executive order. Within 1 week.
They got the money to do it, though, and they wasn't playing.
Sister, we got it, too. We got it too. We are the largest black people in America. I believe it's like the fourth. Like if we were a country, our GDP, we would have like the fourth largest GDP. Or it's like some crazy weird number where like if we were like our own country, we would be like a freaking first world superpower with the type of GDP, which is the money that we make.
We get $1.2 trillion that comes to our hands. We'll be the 10th richest nation in the world.
So do I got to be the one to go to everybody's door and present myself and present what's going on so people can start doing what they need to do as a Black person? Because I'll go knocking on people's door.
Hey,
sister,
what's your name?
My name is Aisha.
Your name, Aisha.
My name is Aisha.
Sister Aisha, please. We want to keep it respectful.
Yes, I know y'all ain't gonna do that.
I would love to get a video with you flipping out and just saying, yo, you need to step the game up. Let's try that. Let's put that out there. Let's see how that motivates people.
I can do that. Me and my daughter, me and my 11-year-old. She don't play no games.
Okay.
She is so smart.
And what you can do is raise the awareness of this program to the people that's around you. Whether it's just, you know, you focus in on the women and the young women that's around you. What you can do is raise their awareness to this program and see how they want to contribute to the development of this program. And first things first, being that you are a way, is to funnel in funds to help grow this program and help carry out some of this function.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's a great idea, matter of fact.
All right, we're going to sum up because we've been on 2 hours. Brother Aisha, Sister Aisha, Brother Steve, I know you guys have been on for an hour. The rest of us have been on for 2 hours. We are going to have these town halls. We're going to have the town halls every week. So we're thinking like this Thursday. It's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get better. as soon as I figure out the tech stack, we'll be able to do video conferences and we'll be able to share slides. Anyone can call me, email me during the week with anything they want to bring to the group, anything they want to discuss, any kind of research they want me to meet, you know, any kind of research, any people they want to reach out to. Just, you know, I'm here. This is what I'm here for. We have the page. We have the Facebook page. We have about, we're closing in on about 2,000 followers, 2,000 people, right? So if anybody has any content or something that they want to share, I have no problem. Excuse me. I have no problem with posting it to the, you know, to the collective, to the group. We have about 400 or 500 people on the email list. We have 87, well, 86, because we actually lost one. We have 86 members. So anything that anything that anyone wants to talk about. What I would say to you is, please watch the blueprint so that you can have a full understanding of exactly what we're doing. Because I hear like a lot of conversation, and you know, I hear a lot of things like, all right, cool, so how do we start? What do we do? Blah, blah, blah. The way that this thing was designed is so that it could be done on autopilot, right? So like you said, you want to go and knock on doors. It doesn't make sense for you to go knock on doors and then have nothing behind you. It doesn't make sense for you to go out there, try to raise awareness, and then when people go to do research, they don't have any literature or any, you know, anything else that says, here's what you do next. Here's how you can get started easy. Because one of the things that we have to recognize is that our people want easy. They want
the
easiest.
Man, I think we just need to go around selling common sense to mother. I'm sorry. I love y'all, brother. I got to go. I got to get my kids and stuff together, man. I will definitely be on the call next week.
Okay, sister. We look forward
to it. Sister, don't forget to make that video of you cook with your daughter, though. Don't forget to make the video of you cook with your daughter, all right?
All right, gentlemen. I think that this has been a very fruitful and productive conversation. Anybody want to say anything, any last remark before we get off the line? Brother Jim, anything you want to say?
No, I'm beautiful. No, not at all, man. You guys are great, and anything I can do to help on my end, I got access to resources, and I'm happy to use any of them to, you know, yeah, anything I can do to help, man.
So brother,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was.
What would be helpful if we had an idea of each other's strengths, and they may have access to each other's resources that may be beneficial to each other. Like I say, I have some people that I work with, and some things that they're doing. You know, whether it's finding, you know, the unions and those type of people that are offering programs that are trained programs for people looking for jobs or records expunged and stuff of that nature. Anything I can do to help you brothers out, man, I'm more than happy to open my door. So if we had an idea of which each other brought to the table, I think we could kind of get an idea of how we can all, you know, network and put stuff together if we need to, or if you other programs.
Well, okay, so we have a powwow coming up, right, Brother Jim?
You know we
right.
Do. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So once you're abreast of what's going on, then we will have the powwow, and then we will visit
okay.
it, and then we can have some straight
okay.
talk.
Okay. Okay. Excellent.
Right. All right. Yep, brother. All right. Brother Kareem, anything you would like to add, brother?
No.
Okay. Brother Rock, are you with us, or you still have us on mute? Brother Rock? Okay, Brother Rock still has us on mute. He's going to come back and find himself in his room by himself. Brother Steve?
Yes, sir.
Anything you would like to, any final remarks or anything you would like to add?
No. In closing, brothers, I want to say that, you know, we live in a microwave society, an instant society where we just want things real quick. We have to understand that our oppression has been for over 400 years. So we didn't get in this condition overnight. This is a huge undertaking. This is a big work. This is a great work that's going to require many things of us. Sacrifice, you know what I'm saying, planning and selling, persistence, you know what I mean, and just being able to withstand and endure, you know what I'm saying, while we try to bring about a change in our condition. But this is a thing we have to develop a vision and then start working towards it and not expect things to happen overnight. That's all.
Beautiful.
All right, brother. Thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming on, for participating tonight. Much better than last week's fiasco. And like I said, we're gonna have this Thursday night. It will get bigger. The technology will improve. And like I said, you know, we're just gonna keep working. This is the seed, and this is how the snowball starts. All right, so everyone have a good evening.
Appreciate your time. All right, gentlemen, ladies.
Thank you.